take all the name.
I talked to the commissioner last night, you know, to get out of reclamation business, or no, I'm sorry.
Call meeting to order. 49th committee, meeting of the House Green Regional Affairs, today's Wednesday, 8th of April at 1:45 PM. Note for the record, there is a forum, Representative Foster, Representative Mackey, Representative Sherry Davis, Representative Gonzalez. On the agenda before us today is House Bill 408, authorizing DEC to award grants for local emergency planning committees, and HB 522, imposing a real estate surveillance tax, providing for sharing with municipalities as a portion of the revenue obtained from the tax, and authorizing certain municipalities to levy and collect a real estate surveillance tax, amending formal requisites of recording and conveyance. We will take up first House Bill 522. Actually, I don't see the sponsor or staff, so we won't take up 522. We'll take up 408. Janice is here, and DEC requested this bill, requested from the governor. An act authorizing DEC to award grants for local emergency planning committees. Janice?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Congress passed in 1986, I believe, the Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act, and it provides the legal framework for emergency planning of extremely hazardous substances. There's about 360 chemicals that have been listed by the EPA as extremely hazardous substances. And this act was passed by Congress in response to the chemical accident in Bhopal, India by Union Carbide. The law requires the states to set up emergency response commissions. In Alaska, that's the State Emergency Response Commission, or what we call the SERC. The SERC, under state law, is and under federal law, is required to set up local emergency planning committees. And you should have in your packets a map, I hope, that shows the planning districts. I think there's 24 of them in the state. And each state, each district is to have a local emergency planning committee. We discovered as we went through the process that DEC does not have the authority to issue grants to organizations or municipalities that want to form an LEPC. Once an LEPC has been formed, we can pass the money through the regular channels in order to operate the LEPC, but the money that the legislature gives DEC every year to form and operate LEPCs, we cannot grant to them. What this statute would do is allow DEC to have a legal mechanism to grant the money to an organization that wishes to form an LEPC. The Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and I'm sorry they're not here today to speak to this, but they did ask that an amendment be considered by the committee. The Division of Emergency Services is working with DEC to train members of the LEPCs for how to respond to an emergency. If there was a chemical release, the LEPC is charged with writing the response plan, figuring out the transportation routes, where are the hospitals, what all needs to happen in a community if there is a catastrophic release of one of these extremely hazardous chemicals. The Division of Emergency Services, of course, would become involved because in all likelihood this would be declared a disaster. They have the capability to train these local people that are, they're just your neighbors and people that are in your city councils, firemen. The statute is specific about who needs to be on an LEPC, but they're all members of the community. The Division of Emergency Services will train them on how to respond. They would like to be able to award the grant monies the monies that they get for that training directly to the LEPC. They don't have the statutory authority to do that either, and this amendment would give them that.
Okay. Any questions? You have a question? For the record, Representative Betty Davis is also the administration doesn't have any objection, I guess, to the...
We consider it really both of these housekeeping.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Davis?
I would move that we adopt amendment number one.
Before we do that, though, I want to get through Representative Fox, granted we have a proposed, but we don't have a CFC. He asked for it. Representative Foster?
Yeah, I just have one question here on this, this little map here in the back. If you could kind of walk through, let's take Patrick here, that's number 16, Northwest Arctic Borough. That's June 14, 1991. Like, they applied for this grant form, right?
What happens is this CERT helps people within the local planning district, which is that shaded area, get all the representation that they need to form an LEPC. Then the CERC, what we've been doing is running the money through a community because it's the only legal mechanism that we have. So we've probably granted the money either to the borough or to Kotzebue through an RSA.
How much would you guess? Roughly,
it's probably about between $20,000 and $30,000. It really depends on the size of the district and what kind of chemicals they have in their area. For example, Kenai has a lot of chemicals, and the concern there, there's a lot higher concern. They have to have much more detailed plans than, say, Yakutat.
Now you say these have to be certain types of people that would be listed
right
to that board.
Yeah.
Now, here, let's take the Nome area here, number 15. I've got a Barry Straits Coastal Zone Management Group, see, doing all that very same part there that's cut out. Would something like that be eligible, or would it have to be like a fireman in Nome and a chief of police?
The statute is very specific, Representative Foster, about who can be on the LEPC. But in that case, in fact, this is exactly the one that brought it to our attention that we didn't have the authority to grant, because we have no legal mechanism to get them money to form the LEPC. So that is exactly the one that...
I didn't know that.
But they will, what they are doing is working with all of the area to get the right membership.
Is training involved?
That is what the, Mr. Chairman, the Division of Emergency Services would do, and why they would like to have the amendment that we've given you today, so that they can train, exactly.
And the money comes from where?
From the state, from the 470, from the oil,
okay,
and hazardous substance spill response.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further, Representative Foster? Anyone else, any questions? Representative Davis, Chair Hughes.
Mr. Chairman, I'll renew my motion to adopt amendment number one.
Any objection?
Wait a minute, what's the amendment?
The amendment Representative Foster was just passed out to us.
Oh, okay.
Amendment number one, which also allows for the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs to award grants, and the second part to purposes of training local emergency planning communities. Any objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Any other comments or questions on the bill? Representative Dulles?
If there is not any questions, I don't see any coming forward. I move that we move HB 408 as committee with the initial recommendation.
Any objection? Hearing none. With as amended. House Bill 408, and we'll move from committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next item on the agenda, I note for the record, Representative Baker and Representative Gail Phillips have also joined us. Next on the agenda is House Bill 522. Representative Kopanen, staff is here. Staff, good
afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Ron Clark, legislative staff to Representative Kopanen. You should have in your packets CS for House Bill 522 that I believe addresses the concerns that were raised in the last committee meeting. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Nancy, they've got a memo from Chenoweth is also in your in your packet. There were a couple of questions as to why authority for municipalities to impose similar taxes on their own was included in this bill, and in talking with the bill drafter and with the Director of Legal Services, they felt that since tax laws are always interpreted as narrowly as possible and often interpreted in favor of the taxpayer, it would be expedient to grant that specific authority at this time rather than challenge it or have to overcome a legal challenge later. And other than that, I guess if you have questions, I'd be happy to entertain them.
Okay. In the last hearing, there were concerns raised by committee members and also by the municipal league. And I note for the committee members that you do have a proposed CS in your packet, and I believe the staff has distributed the memo, which she normally prepares for me, but has distributed to the committee on outlining the changes for the CS and the sections. So do we need to go through that? Does anybody need to go through the sections? It's a feeling of the staff and myself that we have addressed all of the concerns raised by AML and the committee members in the last committee meeting.
Huh? Mr. Chairman, and I would note for the committee's information that the representative from Department of Natural Resources is in the room today. We talked a little earlier about a couple of other things that might bring the fiscal note down a little bit. One would be to put the responsibility for the appraisal of the property off on the seller, and the other would be to remove lease purchases and limit this bill to sales alone. Representative Kopanen would go along with putting the appraisal responsibility off on the seller, but is not as convinced that removing lease purchases is the way to go with this, since a lease purchase does ultimately result in the transfer of property. Maybe we can talk about that later. But as far as the appraisal responsibility being put off on the seller, we're willing to go along with that.
Okay. We're talking about the fiscal notes of $5,000.
I believe DNR came in with one of $3
million. Was there ever any information provided on what kind of revenue this was going to be able to produce?
I think, yeah, maybe we should have the folks from DNR come up and talk about that. I guess we talked this morning, and it sounded like at $15 per transaction, about 30,000 transactions, it would generate something like $450,000.
Are there any, before we go to the next person, is there any questions on the actual CS that's presented for you? If not, I'd like to maybe have a motion to adopt the CS to put it before us for discussion purposes. So
moved.
Is there any objection? Motion to adopt the CS? Hearing none, that CS has been adopted. Okay. Thank you, Rod. Carol Wilson?
Mr. Chairman, Carol Wilson from the Department of Natural Resources. Our fiscal note has over $300,000 on it for needing new staff or extending the hours of staff to handle all these transactions. And what we didn't put on there was that we would charge probably $15 for each one of these transactions. And if you had the estimated $30,000 a year, that would be $450,000, which would offset the costs of adding staff hours on. So that remaining concern on the fiscal note really was this capital item of $3 million, which we didn't know what to put down, because under the bill, the way it is, we're required to have an appraisal done. Now we can hire somebody else, but we don't know how many would be required or what they would cost or anything like that. So we had to have some kind of a fund where we could draw into. And then there's also nothing in the bill that says the person selling the property has to pay for the appraisal. So we thought it would be much easier if you just took the whole appraisal thing out, and we would accept the document, whatever it says here. I think it's on the second page of the CS, on the affidavit. On line 24, something like where it says gross sales price of the parcel or appraised price.
So you're suggesting that we insert the word or appraised price?
Something like that. I don't know what an attorney would say, but yeah, that way documents that weren't sold and there was no gross sales price available, it would be clear they could bring in an appraised price. And then if you took out the section 43-33-060 following that, both A and B, then the department wouldn't be involved in the appraisal at all. It would be clear they had to bring in the affidavit with an appraisal on it. And that would leave to them also the problem of a lease purchase. They would have to figure out what to do. We wouldn't. And that should take that $3 million thing off of and bring it back down to 300 some odd thousand.
Of which with the appraisal, I mean the seller paying that, which would generate $400,000, would actually be positive revenue and would take care of that fiscal note problem. As I understand it, then it's recommended that on line 24, page 2, line 24, after the word parcel, insert or appraised price and delete lines 26 through 31 on page 2 and 1 through 6 on page 3. Is that correct? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I think the sponsor would prefer to see a little bit tighter language other than or appraised price, indicating that gross sales price, whenever available, would be the preferred of those two, and an appraised price would be a figure of last resort. And I don't have any specific language to offer, but I think the sentence in starting on line 27 there might offer some guidelines.
I think you kind of lost me.
Mr. Chairman, on line 24, if we were to rewrite sub D there as gross sales price of the parcel or appraised price of the parcel, it would indicate that the appraised price would be as good a figure as the gross sales price, when in fact part of the impetus of this bill is to get records of actual sales prices filed and available to potential purchasers, municipalities, whoever else. So the preferred of those two figures would be the gross sales price rather than an appraised price. And if we could somehow structure language to indicate that if the gross sales price is available and ascertainable, that that's the preferred of those two figures.
So you're saying gross sales price of the parcel, if available,
mm-hmm.
or the appraised price?
Words
do you have
to
any
that.
Problem with that?
Does DNR have a problem with that?
No. Since we don't have to do it.
So then what we're talking about now, then again for the record, is line 24, section D, gross sales price of the parcel, insert if available, comma, or appraised price. Is that part clear to everyone? And also further on page 2, lines 26 through 31 are deleted, and also page 3, lines 1 through 3 are deleted. That's before us as a recommendation for an amendment, I would submit to the committee. Amendment's been moved. Is there any objection?
Is the amendment clear to everyone?
Question, are you leaving subsection B on page 3, lines 4, 5, and 6?
Oh, I'm sorry, it was both A and B, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the technical correction, lines 1 through 6. So again, on page, Representative Foster, there's been a motion to adopt an amendment, which you'll find on page 2, line 24, section D, gross sales price of the parcel. After the word parcel, submit the words if available, comma, or appraised price, and then delete lines 26 through 31 on page 2 and lines 1 through 6 on page 3.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wicks from DCRA just pointed out a possible snag with that. In the case of a parcel of land or a piece of property being given to someone as a gift or inherited or otherwise transferred without there being a cash transfer involved, maybe we should clarify that somehow. I'm saying gross sales price in event of a sale. Maybe that's redundant, but it might avoid trouble down the line.
If it says gross sales price, it only applies to a sale. It doesn't apply to a gift or inheritance.
Gifts or inheritance are excluded on page 3.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
31.
What I was really getting at, if I could say it, that I think the if available allows wiggle room to say, I'm sorry, the sales price isn't available. And then when you do, then you go to the appraised price, but maybe in fact it's being sold for over the sales price for other reasons, and everybody, you know, would like to know that and be able to collect the tax on that actual sales price.
Yeah, but your concern was over a gift or an inheritance.
No, that wasn't my concern. I was whispering in his ear, and he didn't quite understand what I was quickly whispering to him. In other words,
okay,
where you've inserted the if available, mm-hmm, I'm wondering if you want to make it clear that if there is a sale, it will only be the gross sales price. But if there is an exchange, for instance, or something where it's a little more iffy, I'm not giving you the right wording, but I want to get the idea across. If you've got an exchange, then you may require an appraisal. But if there is a sale, then the sales price ought to be what's listed and the tax paid on that sale.
Why would we require a sale if it's a gift or an inheritance?
No.
I mean an appraisal.
Strike out the gift or inheritance. You could have an exchange. I could say, I'm going to trade you my raw land for your cabin. Right? And at that point, there is no sales price. Those are the circumstances where you want the appraisal as the basis for the tax.
Tax says right? Or appraised price.
Right. But you want to make it clear that they don't have the option of giving you an appraisal in lieu of a sales price. And you don't want to give them the option of saying, I'm sorry, the sales price is just not available, even though they did have a sales price. Am I making this more confusing than
you are to me? Maybe everybody else understands it, but I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I can take another stab at it. If the object of the bill, or one of the objects of the bill, is to establish real-time, real-life values of property as shown by the sales price of that property, rather than a guess by some appraiser or someone else, if the object is to get that price established and in the record somewhere, we don't want to leave people the option of saying, well, the law says I can give you the appraised price, so that's what I'm giving you, even though the sales price exists somewhere.
Well, that's sort of if available, right? Or why are we even going to put appraisal in there then?
Or exchange it.
Mr. Chairman, in some cases, conveyance of real estate doesn't always involve a sale. So in the case of a trade or another conveyance where cash is actually exchanged, you'd want an appraised price of that parcel. But again, what the sponsor was getting at was a record of real-life, real-time property values. And if you give people an out by saying either the sales price or the appraised value.
Okay, we weren't giving them an out until they suggested the language to put in or appraised price. Yeah, it was very clear before, gross sales price of the parcel.
Maybe, Mr. Chairman, if I can offer maybe a couple of words to clear that up. Gross sales price, strike if available, and add or appraised price in the case of a non-cash transfer, or words to that effect.
So would that maybe, if somebody wants to exchange or gift or inherit a piece of land, then they're going to have to have it appraised if it doesn't already have an appraisal?
Gifts and inheritances are exempt. Anyway, but an exchange.
In the event of an exchange. Mm-hmm. What about saying the gross sales price of the parcel or appraised price if the transaction is in exchange?
Mr. Chairman, that would be acceptable to the sponsor.
Okay, so line 24 on page 2 then, the suggested language would now read the gross sales price of the parcel, comma, or appraised price if the transaction is in exchange. Here, CCRA, but I mean, you guys can all look at that now. Any comments or questions from committee? Is the intent of the maker of the motion to include that language I just read? From Baker? That the wording is fine? Okay. Any objection to the amendment? We're only dealing
just
with
the little editorial comment here.
So is it clear on record now what the amendment is? Is there any objection to the amendment? Yes? No, no objection, and the amendment is adopted. Anything else?
Mr. Chairman, on line 10 of page 2, the reviser of statutes apparently has struck filing or as being redundant and unnecessary.
So we need to strike filing or?
Yes.
Delete filing or. So the line 10 would now read the recorder for recording, accepted by the recorder for recording under AS 40, right?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Is there any objection to that technical amendment or deletion? Hearing none, it's completed. Anything else? No? That's all you have? Okay, thank you.
Senator Paul Dick.
Were you just here for questions, Paul?
Yeah, I did. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Paul Dick. I'm with the Department of Revenue. There is one thing that it seems to me in this bill that needs yet further definition, and that is the department. This bill would be enacted under Title 43, which is the Department of Revenue's titles. And the department isn't defined in this bill, so barring any specific definition otherwise, I would assume the department would be the Department of Revenue in this bill. And there has been some dialogue between all the departments involved in trying to determine what department is actually being intended in the bill. And
wouldn't that be clear though by having it under Section 43?
Yeah, it would be my understanding, Mr. Chairman, that title, the department, as referenced here under Title 43, would mean the Department of Revenue.
For the record, I think that is the intention of the sponsor. And any questions for revenue? Did you have projected revenue figures for what this, if this was enacted, potential revenues to the state that the bill would generate?
Mr. Chairman, we did not, and we didn't because the revenue would actually come into the recorder's office when the people are going to be recording their conveyance. So all of the tax would be collected by the recorder and the Department of Natural Resources. So we were thinking it'd be best reflected if the revenue reported on the Department of Natural Resources fiscal note. However, getting back to what I was asking about the department being in this bill, since the department would be the department under this bill, the department would be responsible for the revenue sharing, and I think there's a couple other references, but primarily it'd be the revenue or the tax sharing back to the municipalities. And we have forwarded our fiscal note with the cost of the physician part-time, the time involved that the physician would need to do the tax sharing back to the communities, and that represents our $5,800 in there. However, since it is the Department of Revenue, we need to amend our fiscal note to reflect the amount of revenue that would be leaving out of the Department of Revenue, the tax share back out to the municipalities.
What I was wondering about is potential revenues. If you have a forecast of projected revenues of what this legislation would bring back to the state. We talked about that last meeting, and I believe you told me that that information could be provided to us.
Yeah. There has since been a memo to the sponsor, Mr. Chairman, dated April 3rd, in which the Department of Community and Regional Affairs had access to some appraisal information from the Anchorage market, and they did a rough analysis based on that, and they estimated that the total value of real estate in the state would be somewhere approximately $1 billion. So 1%, that would be $10 million. So essentially, and that seems to be a reasonable amount. The revenues would be $10 million, and we would share back to the municipalities 50% or something like that.
Just
for clarification, what is that $1 billion figure that you just mentioned? What does that encompass?
That encompasses the appraised values from the municipality of Anchorage. The actual appraised
of land available for sale in Anchorage.
From their assessor's office.
Of land of.
Do you want me to
explain? Yeah. Perhaps.
Because that seems like a very low figure to me.
Community and regional affairs to address that.
The point's already been made that because we don't have any kind of a mandatory reporting of sales prices, we don't have a good way to get a handle on this. That's one thing that would come, whether or not there were a tax. If you just had to report your price, then we could start to gather information on this kind of thing. What the state assessor did is he called the Anchorage assessor. I thought you had copies of this letter. We provided it to the sponsor. And the Anchorage assessor estimated that last year there were sales of $500 million in Anchorage. He said, and I don't know how we determine this, if that is half of the total sales in the state, okay, this is very rough stuff. I want you to be sure you know that. If what Anchorage sold is half of the sales in the state, then that would be about $1 billion in sales in the state last year. But we don't have a good way to get a handle on it.
Nobody knows how much was sold last year?
No, there's no reporting requirement.
It would be if this was important.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something the state assessor has asked for so that we could get a handle on these kinds of things. So that's sort of a separate issue from the tax and whether and how much and everything. But
That's the best we can do for you, is to give you that very rough approximation.
Thank you. I think that's all we could ask for.
Under the circumstances.
Questions or comment for either department? Okay, thank you very much, both of you, for being here. Carol also. Comments on the bill?
Chairman.
Representative Baker.
Chairman, I just...
Going back in session?
Chairman, just for the record, I oppose this legislation. I understand the sponsor's intent in bringing it forward, and I certainly respect that. However, the people in my community clearly are opposed to this legislation, and particularly as it affects new homeowners and people. 1% additional cost to get into a $100,000 home is another $1,000 in terms of a down payment. People are struggling in a poor economic times just to get housing above their heads, and it's everyone's dream to own a home. And to add another 1% burden, which is not financeable, cannot be borrowed from the bank, I think it just is counterproductive to what we're trying to do to provide affordable housing. And so there's a lot of people out there, I know, and I've had hundreds of POMs on this issue, and people are trying to get into their very first home, and now we want to impose an additional tax, and I think it's just unfair. I respect clearly the sponsor's intent to raise additional revenues, but for those people, I think it's just the wrong direction, so I will be objecting to moving this legislation.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Do I understand that the buyer has to pay that tax? I thought it was the person that's selling it that has to pay it.
So either or. It's going to be reflected in the cost and the price, and the final price.
Well, see, I mean, you made a statement that it's not financeable. But if the seller is the one that has to pay it, then the seller is the one that pays the tax, not the buyer. And if it is hypothetically included in the price, then that would be part of a price that is financeable.
But then that person then has to go to the next level, because he then has to buy replacement housing, and so he picks it up at that point. So it's a forward. He can't, if he leaves his occupancy, he has to move into something else, and so he picks up 1% on that end. So it continues on, the ball continues to roll down here.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, in all due respect to the sponsor also, I do not support this bill for different reasons. We were just slammed with House Bill 574 this week that includes tax increases on virtually everything under the sun. I mean, you name it, it's in there. Everything is going to be scrutinized in that bill. This bill should have been, this conveyance tax should have been included in there. I object to this coming out as a separate piece of legislation in comparison to that other one, which includes everything. I object to doing any kind of tax increases until we cut the budget. I'm going to come from this from a purely philosophical standpoint that says no new taxes until we cut the budget, and we haven't cut the budget yet, so I don't support this bill.
Representative Davis.
I guess I don't support the bill either, and I don't know what Representative Baker said. I apologize for missing that, but I'll tack mine
really
on.
Really liked it.
I'll tack mine on to the tail end of Representative Phillips and say, after we get through cutting the budget, or maybe not, and cutting it in the future sometime to the point where we're going to have, I mean, I recognize what we're going to have in the state in the near future is some very serious economic problems, budget or no budget, and I think this is just going to add to those problems, so that's my problem. That's my problem.
Anyone else care to comment? Well, it was my intention to move the bill. Not that I'm actually really in love with the bill either, but
But because of the fact that we are considering a lot of the different options, and that's all I consider 574 right now, it hasn't been enacted or anything, all of the options are being put on the table. They're all very tough options, and certainly a lot of them are not popular, but we have to consider this whole thing as a package, and that was my intent for moving it, but or for wanting to move it, but certainly, you know, if the committee does not want to move the bill, then we're not going to. But anyway, I just needed to state that as my intent for a reason for wanting to move it up to finance to consider it as part of the big package that we're working on. Representative Davis?
I think that Representative Phillip made a very good point when she said that 574 has all kinds of options in it, some that people support, some that they don't, and I don't really don't know where it's going to go, but it seemed like this should be rolled into 574, and the maker of this bill, sponsor of this bill, is also on the Finance Committee. Maybe it should be discussed to see if he's interested in doing it that way, rather than us just killing the bill here, because it has some merits. We are looking for sources of revenue streams, and if this is something that's going to be helpful, then maybe it should be in there. And it's my understanding that 574 is not going to go into effect immediately. It's going to be in stages. Some of them will go early, some will go later. This might be something that could be considered.
Representative Davis? Sherry Davis?
This bill doesn't go directly to finance. It goes to labor and commerce.
I understand that.
I just want to make that point, but I don't object to moving it out of here anyway. I just was wanting to make my point.
Jim Foster, any comments? Maybe can you enlighten us?
Well, some of my friends want me to support this, though, and some of my friends don't want me to support this. I'm not going to stick with my friends.
That's invincible, huh?
That is very good.
Well, it appears that Representative Gonzalez, did you have one?
Having sat through probably 7 hours of hearing on House Bill 574, I think I can safely say that the contents of this bill could not be rolled into 574 because it makes substantive changes in law, and 574 is a fee bill, and it's adjusting only fees in statute, and so tax measures new statutory language could not be included in that bill.
And the reporting requirements and other things.
The single subject.
Jim Gonzalez.
Oh,
any comment?
Comment? Sure. No way, Jose.
Boy, between that and running for the border.
This one makes you want to run for the border. Well, I kind of, yeah, I think there's some mixed feelings.
No mix.
Obviously, but some are, there's no question. However, you know, in light of the present situation that we're in, and in looking at making some hard decisions about revenues and so forth, I will recommend that we move the bill, and we'll just vote and let it go at that. So, I think that nobody needs to fall in love with the bill or support the bill at this point. It's got a ways to go, and I think it would need to be considered and should be, in all fairness, considered as part of this package that we're collectively, as a legislature, we're looking at our problems in the state right now. Representative Foster?
I'll go ahead and move this bill out of this committee with the majority.
Is there objection?
Okay.
There is objection. Secretary, call the roll.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Representative Baker?
No.
Representative Ben Davis?
Yes.
Representative Gail Phillips?
No.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Four yes, three no. The bill will move with individual recommendations to the next committee referral. Anything further on the bill? Okay. Anything else on the agenda? I believe our next meeting is Monday.
And then nothing on the Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, we don't have a meeting tomorrow. We will have a meeting on Monday to hear three bills on Monday, and then Wednesday and Thursday of next week will be just held open. We hold anything over.
Thursday. Almost everybody's done Thursday.
Right, including myself. But
that's why we're not meeting.
Yeah. So our next meeting at CNRA then will be on Monday. We're nothing further with Denninger.